Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
Cold wind echoes through the cave, and you're listening to Blood of the Wild, the only show that plays the Quest for the Frozen Flame adventure path for Pathfinder 2E from Paizo Publishing. My name.
We're the only ones.
Was that actually accurate, or did you just say that because you felt like it?
We're the only ones worth listening to.
Roasted. Oh, that's unnecessarily harsh. There probably is another show, and I apologize. I don't plan these intros. I just say whatever comes off the top of my head.
We never guessed that was what was happening.
Right.
I thought these were all scripted and researched.
We are currently playing through.
Remember when you were like, hold on to your assholes. It's time for Blood of the Wild. I thought it was well thought out.
Yeah, no, I just came up with that off the top of my head. I call it imagineering. We are currently playing through book one of this adventure path written by Ron and Stephanie Lundeen, a married couple.
Brother, sister. Maybe it's like the White Stripes. It's like, which are they?
Yeah, well, either way, thank you for book one of Quest for the Frozen Flame. I wish my wife and I could work on a epic Pathfinder adventure together. Maybe I'll ask her if she'd like to do that.
I could work on one with my sister, but she doesn't like this stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to say that she's dead.
She's dead.
I thought you were going
to
say.
Way to bring it up, Jared.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
I'm Jared Logan, and my players are very much alive. Skidmar, Paula Deming, Mary Lou, and Joe O'Brien.
What is up, buddy? I like this idea of you and your wife coming together to write a Pathfinder AP. Do you want to know why? Your wife must bring amazing true crime skill to the table.
Yes.
I mean, she would be able
and
to
Seinfeld.
Write a mystery that would be so sick. And in my experience, the APs with a good mystery are so fun to play. So juicy.
Ooh. And we could add Pathfinder role-playing to our lovemaking, you know?
Like, okay.
Oh, Hezcara. Use your acid splash on me.
Say, I would do that thing you find very pleasurable, but I've already used my three actions for this turn. So you go.
So your turn.
Yeah. Oh. Well.
Kind of genius.
Either way, my wife and I, we do some work together. We, you know, she's also a comedian and a podcaster and a writer. And, we do enjoy working together. I think it's fun to work with your significant other. And she's played in games with me as well. She's played a long Call of Cthulhu. How do you pronounce that? Call of
That's
Cthulhu
about right.
game.
I like think you nailed it. Language.
Yeah. So,
spoken in the tongues of the old ones.
Yes.
What about you guys? Can you work with someone you're dating or that you're married to or that?
I feel like I could, but they never could.
I do. I worked for 8 years for my husband's company, which was a thing. It wasn't nepotism, but I guess it probably kind of was. and then he helps me make my sketch comedy. So we work together. And there are fights.
Yeah, you guys work together all the time.
There are fights. Yes, sure, there are fights. Do they sometimes threaten to end the relationship?
I have once or twice.
The answer is yes.
Always. We'll just stop making these videos if it's going to be like this.
Whoa. Yeah, so ultimatums on the content creation.
It's really,
you're either in or you're out. This is my vision.
I like sometimes to think I'm good at taking notes, but when those notes come from the person who knows me at my most vulnerable, those are harder to take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll say something and she'll get all angry just because I say something like, your ideas are piss. And then she'll get like
so
all
sensitive,
angry. It's like, oh my God.
You know, women.
Women. Yeah, exactly.
Constructive criticism. It's ridiculous.
That's what it sounds like. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a hormonal thing.
Samantha is a really, really good writer, and she also really enjoys, she's a big, avid Pathfinder player, so I don't think I could ever get it together enough to actually write anything, but she really helps me a lot with a lot of my character stuff. When I'm working out character stuff, she's come up with a lot of great ideas for me.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
My wife is not interested in what I do at all, even the tiniest bit. In fact, if it ever comes up in any way with anyone in any sort of a playful tone of like, you should play a game or like, you should try. She's just like, don't even bring it up. I will never, ever, ever,
ever,
ever play a game of Pathfinder.
Never.
Never.
Your wife is more of a jock, right, Joe?
Yes, she's a jock. She's a total jock.
Big athlete. Yeah.
Prefers playing football
and right.
And exactly. Target shooting, I know.
She's big into guns, my wife. Yeah. She's a real fan of firearms.
You know, women always into guns.
Yeah.
And sports.
Yeah. You ladies sports. With your football and skeet shooting.
Ugh, women.
I will say, I think we work really well together. She might disagree. But we work really well together on, she's always around.
Whoa. She's standing really right well behind you and she looks mad.
Where'd you get that rolling pin?
We work really well together on house projects. She's really great at like construction, maintenance. She likes to carry the other half of a couch until her back is in pain, but she's one of those people that won't like, she's like, I got this.
Well,
she's tough as nails.
I want you guys to know.
A man kindly offered to pull a suitcase out of the overhead bin for me on an airplane recently. And I was like, no, I don't need the help. I'm strong. But it was very kind of him. And I probably should have just let him do it. But I'm the same way. I want to like prove like, no, I've got this. I can lift this suitcase that I packed way too full and it's way too heavy now.
I was at Home Depot with my roommates and best friends in my early 20s. And we were building like a shelving unit and we had the whole plan. We had the whole list of like everything that we needed. And we were in an aisle and you know how huge Home Depot is. So we were sort of like, okay, where do we need to go? We were in like a little huddle in one of the aisles talking. And this older man comes up and he's like, hi, girls, do you need some help? And he did not work there, right? So we were like, no, thanks, we're good. And he's like, okay, and he left. And then for about 5 minutes, we like huddled some more and we were like, shit, we really need some help.
We do need that help.
We found him again and we were like,
"Hi, would you help us?" And he did. And because we were like, so nice.
this man coming up to these three girls thinking that he, you know, and he was just like a dad who overheard us being clueless. And he was like, "Yeah, I've been a contractor for 30 years. I thought I could just like help you guys out." And we were like, "Yes, please. Thank you so much." Yes. And it was awesome.
Sorry, my pride got in the way. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, whenever I want to help a lady that I see on an airplane or in a Home Depot, I'll always say, "Enchanté. May I offer some assistance, m'lady?"
And then tip your fedora.
I'll tip my fedora. Yes.
Doff your fedora.
Yeah.
And then I'll swing my big black duster coat.
Mm. All right. I'm gonna say yes, please. Okay, I'm here for it.
My goodness.
Take a little sniff
to reveal
of your
the katana on your belt.
Shall we play a little Blood of the Wild?
Yes. I've been looking forward to this one.
It's sure. Red Cat Cave Day Red on Blood Cat of the Cave! Wild.
I'm so excited.
The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps. And we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless northern night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild!
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwiner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. The episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The Best Worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are, back at our bullshit again. So, the story thus far, our scouts have been racing across the realm of the Mammoth Lords eastward with their following, the following of the Broken Tusk, to get to Red Cat Cave. We're here, where they are going to confront the guardian of the cave and discover the final fate, the location of the primordial flame, an artifact that they desperately need to get their hands on before another following, the warlike Burning Mammoth, get their hands on it. The Burning Mammoth have been harrying our Broken Tusks all the way across the plains of northern Avastan. Now we have finally arrived at Red Cat Cave after facing numerous challenges we don't need to go into here, but our following has arrived and it is up to our scouts, the tip of the spear, to look into this cave and find some answers. And so I will return us to our hex map. You will see that there is one more hex to travel into in order to arrive at Red Cat Cave. We handled any final business. The day dawns and it's time for the following to travel to the cave. Are there any questions, concerns, accusations before we begin?
I would just like to quickly point out there are several other podcasters doing Quest for the Frozen Flame playthroughs on their channels. And I'm sure that they're all great.
Yes. Yes. Again, apologies, other Quest for the Frozen Flame podcasters, on behalf of the Glass Cannon Network.
We could never listen to them. This is the true tragedy. We could never listen to them for fear that they might spoil something in the story that we ourselves have not come across yet or before. So, but best of luck to all of them, and we wish them well.
Yes. Thank you.
Maybe you can fix Pecano.
Thank you for being
write in and let us know if you fixed Pecano.
Yeah. Yeah, at least one of you guys has to run Pecano with a redemption arc and tell us how it goes. Maybe Pecano becomes a PC.
But in ours, he drinks piss. So
he does. I hope that didn't happen.
Okay, that's right. Let's fix this. We're the only Quest for the Frozen Flame podcast where Pecano drinks his own piss.
Yes, as far as we know. No,
drinks orc piss.
Well, that's right.
We're never going
to
get it exactly right.
I think that's safe, right?
Okay. So here we are. The day has dawned. They're pulling up stakes on the tents. The mammoth herd is starting to get underway, lumbering slowly eastward, southeastward, deeper into the hills. Ahead looms Red Cat Cave, the tip of the spear. You're supposed to head out first. You're supposed to get ahead of the following. If there are no other concerns before leaving,
I have a question.
Here we go. Excellent. Go.
With the cave, is the cave something that the entire following could enter?
It is not. That is not the plan. But I can tell you what the plan is, so we're all clear on it.
Yes.
Where you have gone, there is a Sion route, which is the route that the Broken Tusk have been following for years. It is an abbreviated or smaller migratory route. It goes from where you are right now back to Rockloom, where you started, in a circle as the seasons pass. Okay? You are, according to Broken Tusk lore, somewhere near the beginning of the Ethgear route. The Ethgear route is the route that was taken long ago and has since been abandoned for several reasons. Not all of which would be completely clear to you as young people. So the cave is not something you're going to march your following through, if that is your question. It is probably not large enough, and it does not, according to the knowledge you have an outlet in order to do that.
But the following is not going to make camp and wait here for us to return from the cave. They are going to move toward the cave and then camp directly out front of the entrance?
They're going to camp outside the cave. It is not going to be necessarily directly in front of the entrance. It would probably be in the foothills beneath it.
There's just a fundamental problem here that I think that I can see as a player that I would think anybody would be able to, any of us as characters would be able to see.
As a GM, I've thought over all of the problems pretty thoroughly, but go ahead and tell me about this problem.
The nature of this path is that we climb up into mountains that sort of seems to dead end at a cave and we're running away from something. So the only way out is the way we came in.
Yes. So perhaps...
Would we be trapped here?
If I may. So perhaps the map that has been put in Roll 20 does not exactly accurately depict the Ethgear route or the Sion route. You see that the cave is sort of surrounded by mountains, but I can tell you... Wait, let me just show you. Right here, the Ethgear route continues through that.
Oh, I see. The east. Okay, so us as scouts and the whole following knows they could visit Red Cat Cave and stay on the run, moving to the east from. Yes. Okay,
but good looking out.
I always
good looking out, Joe, to make sure that I'm not like, you hit mountains, y'all are fucked. Like, no, there is a way through.
Pictured it as like the end of this journey, and then we just have to double back. So I was like, wait, what's going to happen then? But now I get it. Okay, sounds good.
And if people are wondering why everybody went, oh, it's because I just made something that was only visible to the GM, visible to everybody else, and it's a arrow pointing to the Ethgear route that leads through the mountains.
And it implies that the map continues on beyond where it's drawn here, and that's exactly what's important to know. Okay.
And we have gotten a full rest in this night before when we were doing our preparations. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Just want to make sure, because we had that one night where we didn't really get a full rest, and I didn't want to assume that that was not going to affect us now, if in fact it was going to affect us now.
Well, thank you for checking, and never put it past me to say that you have a bad sleep, and now all of your attacks are at negative 10. Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. I've just got spell slots to worry about, you know, mess like that. Silly spellcaster shit.
All right, so are we moving into the Red Cat Cave Hex today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm then picturing...
Go ahead.
The Cave of Wonders from the Disney's animated
That's
Aladdin.
That's also what I'm picturing.
Rising out of the sand, saying, "The diamond in the rough."
Yes. Seek ye out the diamond in the rough, Paula Deming.
Who dares disturb my slumber?
You may move the broken tusks into the Red Cat Cave space.
We're there.
I can't believe we're here.
And now you must leave the following and head up into the hills. And I will go ahead and place you in front of the cave on the map.
Oh, this is cool.
It's a whole new page in my notebook. Oh!
I scratch Xania's ears and I give my father a kiss on the cheek and I look at Olag and say, "I'll take care of you." And we go.
Good.
My goodness.
I scratch my father's ears and kiss Xania on the cheek.
Your father scratches both of your ears.
But Grown kisses him. None of your cheeks.
Yeah. He gets it. He gets it.
So, the day
so glad
dawns.
Grown-up didn't die.
The day dawns bright and clear, and as you make your way up into the hills, the mist clears, and you are looking at Red Cat Cave. It is a hill of red limestone. You can see that the opening of the cave, which is located here, is about roughly. It's like a cleft opening in the cave, about 7 feet high, 6 to 7 feet high. There is an overhang here that is outside of the cave. It is not inside the entrance. There's kind of like a raised platform, an overhang, and that is the first thing you must traverse before entering. The mouth of the cave does indeed look like a growling saber-toothed tiger. There are two large stalactites hanging down like teeth. This is Red Cat Cave. What would you like to do?
Can we see this overhang?
You can. You can kind of see it. Let's say, give me a perception roll, because you are, you're still like 25, 30 feet away from it. So, and it is up above you, so I'm not sure how much you can see. Give me a perception roll.
23.
I would say that you guys have thoroughly scouted just this area before walking right up to it. So you know that there is the entrance that I mentioned, and there is a fire ring.
That's what I was wondering. So I saw that little
south of
circle
the entrance.
Of yeah, stones.
There's a fire ring to the south of the entrance, and right beside the fire ring, you see some kind of markings on the wall, but you Ooh. Haven't gotten close enough to see exactly what they are yet.
Let's move toward that, and as we do, I would like to be casting Detect Magic just as we are moving through, just as a precaution. Yelka has no idea what to expect here and just wants to know if anything magical comes close to them, or they come close to anything magical.
Okay. That sounds good. Why don't you keep detecting magic, and you can move your characters forward as you would. AWOL, go ahead.
AWOL is going to avoid notice as much as possible. So he's going to try to stay low as we move towards these and stay quiet.
Very good. Give me a stealth roll.
16.
Okay.
And we get, at least AWOL gets up to the, oh wait, can we get up to the ring of stones or are we far below it?
Do we need to climb
you're not far below it. You can kind of climb up.
Okay.
We'll call that like 10 feet of movement, though. And now you have arrived at the fire ring AWOL. And Yelka, you are detecting magic from the markings right behind the fire ring.
Whoa.
And the magic you are detecting is emanating from a pictogram. A pictogram depicting a large saber-toothed tiger.
I will go over to that and attempt to identify that magic.
The second that you reach the wall, suddenly, you've come within 5 feet of it. Suddenly, the saber-toothed tiger in the pictogram springs to life.
Oh my gosh. Why? I was trying to be so careful and I was such an idiot.
Animates itself and it swipes with its claws.
Whoa.
Like at me out of the wall?
That's right. Make a will save.
Dumb.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, everyone. I messed up. That's a 21.
A 21.
That's good.
I'm a willful motherfucker.
That's very good. You're only going to take half damage because it is a basic save. So here it comes. Here comes the damage.
Stop counting.
Man, he's doing so much
Stop
math.
Stop counting.
Yeah, I don't like that.
We're going to call it 12 damage.
After being halved?
That's half.
Wow.
That is correct.
Wow.
You watch as the claw leaves the wall and slices through Yelka's outer garment, ripping flesh beneath it. Blood squirts out, adding to the red lines of the pictogram. God. Yelka!
AWOL's going to come up and grab her and try to pull her back from the wall.
Once you've done that, you look back up at the pictogram and it is, once again, just a drawing on the wall.
This is a security measure. This is to frighten people away.
Well, it worked. Everyone be careful. Please don't go near it.
Can you treat your own wounds with your herbs and your medicines?
I can help. I can help too.
Yeah. Yes. I will. Give me just a few minutes, please. Yelka's like, you're supposed to be taking care of Olog, not getting immediately got by freaking magic. Stupid.
While she gets got, I want to investigate the fire ring. I want to see if it's been laying cold for a long time. If it's been recently used. If there's anything about this fire ring that gives us any information.
Give me a perception check.
20.
You notice tracks that give the fire ring a wide berth, probably avoiding the pictogram on the wall. The tracks have webbed feet.
Oh. Webbed feet?
Webbed feet. Feet? Okay.
What could that be?
It's Navy SEALs.
Did we come up against anything with webbed feet? I can't remember.
The Kelpie?
No. Okay, if we feel like spending the time, I can spend 10 minutes to survey wildlife to see if I can find out more about the creatures that are nearby.
Yeah, was it just a single mundane duck that happened to walk into this cave, you think?
A very cautious duck.
While you're doing that, I would be treating my wounds.
Okay.
I think there's time. Also, my treat wounds did not go well.
No.
Yelka, I rolled a 4, so that's a total of 10, which I imagine is not going to be enough. I think it's typically a DC 15, but you tell me, Jared.
It is currently a DC 15, so
yeah.
It does not
Yelka's work. Hands are shaking, and the gash is actually deeper than what she realized, and she can't pull herself together emotionally, mentally, or physically to deal with it. So she's just kind of clutching bloody cloth against
the wound is too deep, big sister. Use your magic.
Oh.
I...
No, do not waste a spell slot.
Can Olag treat wounds?
Well, I thought... Is it just one attempt?
If she fails doesn't that make her immune to treat wounds?
Yeah, I think it makes her immune from herself, but...
Temporarily immune to treat wounds actions for 1 hour.
Okay, yeah. So anyone, okay. Yeah, you're right. Look at that.
Oh, so, yeah.
Brutal.
Can you lay how often can you lay hands, AWOL?
So, once every 10 minutes. So... Oh, Skid. I'd love to get you all fired up. Four doctors are standing around a patient. One doctor is unsuccessful at the procedure. The other three are like, well, there's nothing we can do.
Yes, she tried. I mean, maybe we could try again in 50 minutes, but I mean, for the moment, I just don't know what we could do unless someone knows magic. Then maybe.
In the world of Golarion, certain cosmic rules enforce the game being challenging.
Yes.
And that is why no one else may treat wounds. Maybe we could rationalize it like this. Perhaps Yelka has applied certain salves and ointments to her wound, and we are waiting to see if they successfully heal it.
Yes.
Right. But
rather than digging in there some more.
No, it won't succeed. All right, so then AWOL will still if you don't mind, Yelka, AWOL will still cast Lay on Hands just as a precautionary measure. So he's going to pray for aid and give you 6 hit points back.
Thank you, AWOL. I think either what you've done is helping or maybe what I did. It's hard to tell since they happened at the same time.
And then he is going to sit back while Raga surveys wildlife. And he's going to try to focus his energies again. So for 10 minutes. And when he does this, I just imagine him trying to reach that place again that he reached when he touched Gronum and brought him back from the coma. He keeps trying to return there. Wants to ask... God, why do I keep forgetting Phirasma's name? What's Phirasma's name here?
The it's Arbiter. Phirasma.
The Arbiter. Keeps trying to reach the Arbiter.
You can call her Phirasma. It's Phirasma. You can call
Keeps trying to reach Phirasma again to ask her what she meant. You know, he's
I will remember you.
Yeah, he's always has that in the back of his mind.
Remember you.
Yeah, maybe it was a really nice I'll remember you. And not a remember you tinged with revenge. So yeah, he prays.
So... You could use survival to survey wildlife, Raga, but more likely, if you're trying to ascertain the identity or the taxonomy of the creatures that leapt the webbed feet,
yes.
you would probably recall knowledge. You would probably use a skill like, say, nature like you used before, although not necessarily that one, in order to find out what kind of creatures these are.
Webbed feet.
Webbed feet.
In the mountains.
In the mountains. Well, my best skills are survival and nature. The only one... Oh, and religion. I have a really high religion skill. Because I studied it with...
You can just roll all of them.
Can I?
No nature reason, and why not? Religion. Nature and religion for sure.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
21 is my first roll for nature.
21 for nature, that is a success.
Yes. So,
23 for religion.
Whoa.
Religion does not apply here. You are not dealing with undead or celestial or infernal creatures of any sort.
What about a rogue priest?
What about a rogue priest? What about
an amphibious nun?
You are you are dealing with an apostate who has angered the gods, and he's angered them so much they gave him webbed feet.
But that's it. He's just a totally normal guy otherwise.
Otherwise, no. Yeah.
You're dealing.
You can tell all of that from the tracks.
Yeah, I can.
You're very, very impressive, Rob.
I know a lot about religion. All right,
I do.
You're dealing with an animal, and the animal is called a Blindheim.
These are out of Fiend Folio in original Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
What? Whoa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, these were submitted. This is one of the creatures submitted to White Dwarf magazine back in the day by someone in England that were compiled into the Fiend Folio. But I can picture the art right now. These things are really creepy looking. So awesome.
Ooh.
This is great.
Yes. So your 21 doesn't give you everything you could possibly know about it. It just lets you know that sometimes they walk on their hind legs. Sometimes they kind of do an ape-like kind of like, you know, lumbering. And they are small. And they have eyes that can illuminate an area.
Cool.
Oh, they have eyes that can illuminate an area?
Their eyes glow.
So we need to catch one and pluck its eyeballs out.
Wow.
Oh, well, that was a big leap, but...
I will remind Raga and all of you that, you know, maybe if something is an animal, you don't necessarily want to hurt it.
Or, well, that is anathema to my druidic order.
Right,
so.
But it is okay, according to your anathema, to defend yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, which is why I stomped that cockatrice. Okay, I'm going to relay all that information to my teammates. It has some level of intelligence. Is it a beast or an animal?
It is an animal.
It is an animal.
Look at this picture.
Wow.
Yeah, the original artwork. Wow.
It looks like a little
frog man.
Frog
head lights for eyes.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
His eyes look like car headlights. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite. This is my new favorite creature.
It has some level of intelligence because it avoided the saber tooth pop out.
True.
Yeah. Is there any more to be found, Jared, from examining the fire? Raga had asked if it was warm, cold, if it had any indication that it was used lately or not. I can roll a check too, but I just wanted to check.
Do you want to dig through the fire?
Yeah. I think I'll do survival, maybe.
Sure.
Okay. Man, I have felt ice cold for several weeks of this show. That is 14.
A 14? Well, I'll tell you something. Just by digging through the fire, I probably wouldn't have even made you roll the check. So I'm going to tell you that you find a stone that looks very different from the others. Hmm. It is kind of smooth and shiny and feels incredibly light to the touch. Hmm.
What's this?
Can I do a nature roll on it?
You can.
14.
This is not a naturally occurring stone in this area.
Raga, Yelka. Ever seen anything like this before?
And he holds it up. He'll even hand it to you if you want. You can feel how unnaturally light it is.
Huh. What's that?
Have we seen this before?
You have never seen this before.
No, I've never seen... I don't know what it is. And when I detected magic, it only came from the pictograph, right? Or did it come from anywhere else?
Are you detecting magic now?
I'll detect magic again, yeah.
As soon as you detect magic, you see...
I'm a little scared, but yes.
As soon as you detect magic, you see the yellowish stone illuminate from within. You realize it's a chunk of amber with a bit of feather trapped inside of it.
Oh.
And you realize that this is magical.
Oh, plus we can clone whatever this
bird was. We can make dinosaurs out of this. Oh, it's magical. Look, there's a feather inside of it. Can I now identify magic to try and figure out what kind of magic it is?
You may.
Oh, boy. I get to do a thing. I'll use... Since there's a feather in there, I'll use nature because it's what I know. Identify magic, nature.
Okay.
Okay. That is pretty good. 21.
Nice.
22. Sorry, it's 22.
Okay. So you're identifying what type of magic this stone
is,
right?
Depending on my success, I'll get For a regular success, I would get a sense of what it does and learn any means of activating it. For an ongoing effect, you learn the effect's name and what it does. Critical success means I learn all the attributes of the magic, including its name for an effect, what it does, any means of activating it, and whether it is cursed. A failure, I don't know anything and I can't try again for a day. If I crit failed, which I don't think I did, you tell me something that's wrong.
And you rolled a 22. So that's a success. And you realize that this stone deals with transmutation magic. Oh. And it is, I'm going to say, a primal magic. You rolled nature, right?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did.
And it is activated and you ignore the effects of difficult terrain and greater difficult terrain that you move through until the end of your turn.
Cool.
I think
it's activated just by rubbing it in your pocket.
Ooh.
Neat.
I think we can use this to make it easier to travel. Or at least for one of us. If you just rub it, it will activate and it should make it easier. I don't know how I know that, but I just do.
Let me try.
Okay. I'll hand it back to him.
And he'll try, like, rubbing it, like, activating it, and then, you know, seeing if he can, like, scramble over the rocks easier or something. It's just like, doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
It works. You guys watch as AWOL's footfalls are much lighter, and he springs from stone to stone with ease. It's as if gravity has less of a pull on him.
This feels amazing. You've got to try it. Raga, try it.
All right, I'll try it, and I'll hold it, and I'll rub it, and I'll try and, like, maybe climb up the wall or something.
It does not help you climb up the wall.
Oh, it does not work. I don't like it.
She falls down and cracks the back of her head open.
I toss it to Olog.
I grab it and says, ah, yes, finally, ultimate power. And I rub it, and I run right at the pictogram of the saber-tooth tiger.
No, Olog, stop.
Oh, look, wait! Slash!
Well, I think that it does nothing now.
Oh.
Thank goodness. Okay.
And in fact, getting very close to
it. You did
it.
You defeated it.
Getting very close to the pictogram, you see that it is in a different position than it was originally.
Oh.
The sort of position of the saber-toothed tiger is.
You see?
Okay.
Odog, it's afraid of you.
Yes. This rock keeps tigers away.
No, Olog, it helps you move better.
It also has a chilling effect on tigers. You see this, tiger? This is for going against, for hurting my big sister.
And he just starts smashing at the pictogram with his iron fists.
Bam, bam, bam. Just starts punching at
Yelka,
the pictogram.
Can you calm him down?
Olog, Yelka will just get up and kind of grab onto his arm. Shh, we don't want to make too much noise, I think.
And he whispers, yes. He says, you're right. He's just like, you see this? Like he's holding up the stone to the saber-toothed tiger. He's like, fear the stone. Fear me. Never touch my sister again.
I love you and you're very scary and strong. May I have the stone back, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you. And then Yelka will give it back to AWOL. I think you should have this, AWOL. You like to, like, go ahead of the group a lot, and I think this will help you.
Hmm. Well.
You're scouting.
But I don't usually have a free hand.
But you can just put it in your pocket and rub it, and then leave it in there.
All right. Shall we go in? I'll scout ahead if you like.
Yes, okay. Can you see in the dark? We've said this just the other day, but I can't remember.
That's okay. It's fine to review it for our listeners and for ourselves because it is relevant here. The cave is dark inside.
I think I'm the only one who can't, if I remember correctly.
We're the only one who can't, but I'm the only one with dark vision.
I think we both have
low light, but I have dark vision.
Olog has dark. AWOL has low light.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Are you 100% sure you have dark vision?
Me?
Yeah.
100%.
What does that come from?
From my heritage. And from my background.
Oh, cool. Which is all right, yeah, secret. So I've got low light, so that means I would need a light spell or a torch anyway. What about the rock? The rock doesn't emit any sort of low glow, right?
The rock that helps you move through difficult terrain?
Yeah.
Yes, it also lights your way, and it allows you to cast extra spells, and it can
be
used.
You said it glowed.
You said it glowed when you first described it. That's all right.
Well, the glow was in your heart.
Okay.
I will, Yelka will, the crow skull brooch that she has on her, like, feather collar. She will touch that, and a glowing light starts to emanate from it underneath her hand, and she removes her hand, and there's a bright light in 20-foot radius and dim light for the next 20 feet like a torch from this object, it's wow. there, so it will just... kind of like a headlight, and then hopefully she can, if she needs to, cover it somewhat to help dim it. But that, she's like, okay, this should help at least me.
Well, it helps me too. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
So the question only is, are Olag and Raga just going to walk in and walk ahead? Because you guys want to, do you guys want to walk in the complete darkness as an advantage? Or... do you want us all to walk in together with the big light?
I don't mind. I really don't mind going in front. I just, the possibility of detecting traps is low, and we're not likely to sneak up on anyone who can also see in the dark.
Right. And I feel like we are here to be seen. We are here to be seen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Olag volunteers to lead the charge.
All right. Well, so
I will go first.
All right, well, we'll just go right behind you, and the light can...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we'll all walk close together, Jared, with Olag in front, Awol and Yelka behind.
Be careful, Olag.
Very good.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel... your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
Reality TV is messy. Pop culture is louder than ever.
And the internet?
Completely unhinged.
Welcome to Roxanne.
And Chantel.
The podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows.
Spill the headlines.
And sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter.
No boring takes.
Just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne.
And Chantel.
Let's get into it.
Okay, let's walk in.
Oh my god!
No, but
okay to just be going in with all this light, but we need to see too, so.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. We aren't expecting traps. We're trying to be seen, like Joe said. We're here to be received by the owner of the cave.
We also should expect traps, for the record, just because we already saw one. So, like,
that's true.
Keeping an eye out is not a bad idea either, but...
I guess maybe I don't mean traps, but I mean, like, ambushes or anything like that.
Well,
but
we're certainly not planning on sneaking up on someone we know is in here to attack them.
Like, yeah, that's right. What I mean. True. We are not sneaking up. But yeah, there are probably more security measures if there was already.
In fact, Yalka, you may want to continue just casting Detect Magic. We might see another sigil on a wall.
I should be able to. The light will last until the next time we make our daily preparations or until I cast light spell on something else. So I don't think it's like it's not labeled with concentration, so I can do other spells while it's up. So yes, I'll be doing Detect Magic still just as we go and trying to be a bit wiser in what I do with that information next time.
And I am going to be walking through here with my axe out simply because I do not fear Siarstik, nor do I wish to antagonize Siarstik, but there may be other unwanted visitors here, as we've seen with the footprints. So,
and seeing his axe come out, Awol will look side to side for a moment and then slowly pull both of his blades just to be sure. Just as a precaution.
Very good. So our heroes are armed. Our heroes are proceeding cautiously, but not fully avoiding notice, right? Walking.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go from avoiding notice at this point to changing to just constantly perceiving for traps.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. Okay. Let me see. I think I'm going to make... I'm going to make this statement. First of all, looking ahead of you...
That makes me nervous.
No, looking ahead of you, the illumination from Yelka's pendant and our dark vision... proficient friends see that there is a fork directly ahead of you. I will say also that you notice that the height of these passages, because these are like little passages, are about 6 feet. Up ahead, you can go to the right or to the left.
Yeah, so Olag is basically like crouching over with his axe like down at his knees as he's walking through here. he's going to go walk up to the fork and look left and right.
Okay, I am going to make a roll.
Boy.
Okay. Olag, you can hear faint sounds coming from the passage to your right.
Oh my gosh, sweet. I'm flashing back to our backup games. Oh, God.
Yes, we played old school Dungeons and Dragons at one point with the BX rules from the 80s, and it was deadly. It was deadly.
Yeah, that's some dangerous stuff.
Nothing like starting with one hit point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I turn back to the others and I gesture towards the south, and I start walking down that way.
Cool. Okay. Something tells me that Siarstik would not be so close to the entrance of his own cave.
Well, there are others here.
Yes. So, Olag, I think that you can immediately see that there are some broken... There's a broken crate in this passage. And soon the things that are moving in the chamber reveal themselves. The chamber... widens out so that they are about 8 feet in height, and you see two frog-like creatures about the size of, say, a halfling moving about inside the chamber. They don't appear to have noticed you yet, even though you guys weren't being stealthy. Perhaps they just weren't quite on their guard. And let me show you what they look like, even though we've already seen the old school version.
It's our friends.
This is what our friends at Paizo show these characters to look at like. They have pink skin.
Oh, they don't look so friendly. No, I changed my mind about the Blindheim.
This looks like a frog who's like taken up powerlifting.
Yes.
And has horrible nurse shark-like fangs.
Yes.
Perfect and it's explanation.
Like pink and white, like something albino, like yeah, something like that it, does it, not live in the sun.
Like it spends all of its time underground in the dark. Oh, so scary.
Anglerfish.
So, yeah. Olog, you're still outside the chamber. You're kind of looking around the corner into the chamber, and you see these things kind of gibbering, muttering to themselves, and occasionally their eyes flash, boop, boop, almost like Morse code. Their eyes flash
gosh,
with
how
light.
Cool.
Boop, boop, boop,
boop. So cool.
So Olog steps into this cavern.
Gosh.
And just goes,
oh my gosh, Olog.
Olog.
Olog should not be leading us. I'm everybody, just going to say it now.
everybody roll initiative.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Boy.
I love how it starts with.
So good.
You know, it is so funny. You showed that old school artwork, and I was like, well, this thing is going to be our ally and come back to camp with us. And then I saw Paizo's artwork and I was like, that thing must die.
We should be avoiding this.
Yeah. Yeah, the old art is definitely much friendlier.
It was a simpler time. What is your initiative score, Joe O'Brien?
18.
We have our friend AWOL at an 18. How about you, Mary Lou?
8.
Yeah.
Raga, kicking it at an 8. Olog, Crowborn.
24
for Olog. And Yelka.
13.
A 13 for Yelka. These things start hissing. Their eyes blink repeatedly, and they charge. They're starting to charge toward you. Olog, you're first.
Okay. Olog picks up on their threateningness. He is going to step forward 5 feet. He is going to rage, his red eyes glowing like embers in the darkness, and he is going to swing lengthwise this creature's belly with his axe.
Oh, such a description of such
frog in half.
That is a 14 to hit.
A 14 to hit is not enough.
Oh, ouchie. Okay.
Man, creature sucks
still
in.
Rolling like garbage. Yeah, and this is hard because like he can't stand fully upright in here like this. So this is a difficult conditions for him to be fighting in.
Inside the chamber, it is 8 feet. Is he bigger than... Yeah,
no,
inside
I'm 7'4",
the chamber.
So. Yeah, but I still, like, I can't, like, lift the axe, like, over my head for an overhand, like,
right.
Swing, which I normally do. So I'm still just fighting laterally in a way that I'm not used to.
Yes. The creature ducks under your axe, and that is your first and second action, or did you rage as well?
I stepped up, raged, and attacked.
That's three actions, and that is Olog, Crowborn. Now we come to AWOL.
AWOL, Jared, can I ask? Listen, I'm just going to pitch a retcon favor that you can totally say no to, but it's one of those instances where you're like, the character would absolutely do this, and I forgot, which is when there's tracks established like that and we knew what the creature was, I can hunt prey, like, out of combat when I have that information, and it would just save me an action right now. Can I have done that, or do I have to do it now? It's totally
watch
fine.
Me be a bitch. You cannot.
All right. I can't remember to say that. Okay. He is going to... I'm going to say, Yelka, I need some light. Come up here. And he's going to delay. Because where Yelka is, it would be completely blocked in shadow, like that whole room. So she just needs to step into the hall first, and then he can get in there.
You can see the eyes of the Blindheims flash occasionally, but it wouldn't be quite enough for you to target them with zero penalty. So,
it would be a disadvantage. I'd have to roll a flat check. So like I just got to wait for Yelka to get in here.
Very good. Very smart. AWOL, that was your turn, and that brings us to Yelka.
All right, Yelka will...
Or it wasn't your turn. You delayed. Sorry, go ahead, Yelka.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, excuse me, Raga, and we'll push through
so
Raga 5, 10 feet to now be in the hall so that the light is shining into the chamber.
Amazing.
Sees these horrible frog creatures and Olog. sighs because Olag is getting them into trouble and she's supposed to be protecting him. So, oh boy. She will send an electric arc over to the two. Ching, 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 zing, out of her hands.
Nice.
It's a little different every time I cast it, you know? And they both froggies must make a basic reflex saving throw, please.
Here they go.
Y'all, I can't wait to get level 3 spells because my cantrips will be heightened.
Oh, that's always good.
Number one rolls a 13.
That is a fail.
Yeah.
Number two rolls. Number two rolls. Sorry, that is a 18.
That just makes it.
Oh,
so one will take half and one will take full. Oh, yes, I rolled a 4 on the D4.
Yes.
Wow.
Nice. And it's just a D4 plus 4. So one takes 8 and one takes 4 points of damage. That's the best my spell has ever gone.
That was great. Good.
And you see their eyes flash as they are filled with electrical energy.
Yeah. You know what happens to a frog when it gets hit by lightning?
Neither do I, but we're about to find out.
I feel like that's a specific reference to something, but
X-Men. X-Men. The first X-Men movie.
Oh, that's right. Of course. Okay.
And the answer is... the same thing that happens to everything else.
Yeah. I love that.
Otherwise known as a masterclass in script writing.
That's okay. Right. David Hayter. David Hayter's best.
Let us.
That is my whole turn. That is all three of my actions. I've stepped up and I've done what my father said. Take care of Olag.
Yeah, protected Olag. AWOL will jump into the initiative now that there's light in the room and he can see the two targets clearly. And he will move to the one that is in the throes with Olag.
Yes.
So he is going to move up next to Olag, between Olag and the rock wall, in melee with this creature. He will hunt prey now that he's got the light and can see it clearly, and will do a twin attack against this thing. Yeah. So slice with the short sword, natural 3. Ice!
Oh,
God. Cold.
Oh, come on.
Swing with the bone, John. Natural 2.
Unbelievable. What's happening in our hood?
All that single digits. So yeah, this thing is able to, despite being blind, I guess, is just dipping and dodging out of the way with ease.
It is doing it with ease. They are quick. They are wily. They leap about like nasty little frogs. And it is their turn.
Oh, boy.
And the first thing that they do is they both immediately bring their eyes to full brightness.
Oh. No.
And it is a blinding 30-foot emanation that springs out from their eyes. Like, you saw their eyes blinking before. You didn't know that they could get this bright. And I need fortitude saves from my friend AWOL, from my friend Olag. And yes, and I think we're gonna save Raga because she's around the corner. Does the 30 feet meet Yelka?
Yes, because I needed to be within 30 feet to attack them, and I checked, and I am. So yeah, I'm just at 30 feet.
But their lights stay on until they deactivate them. So anybody going in, remind me, you're gonna need to make this fortitude save.
Okay.
Oh, my God, natural 3.
Oh, Joe.
No.
Unbelievable.
Joseph, that is, we need to talk.
Adjusted 10.
An adjusted 10, thank God. I you don't want a critical fail on this one.
How'd
you do, Olag?
No.
24 for Olag.
24 for Olag. 24 is not a critical success, but it is a success. Olag, you are dazzled for one round.
Oh, okay. Boy.
But unfortunately, our friend AWOL is blinded for 1d4 rounds.
1d4?
No.
Roll a 1.
I rolled a 1.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
And Yelka, how did you do on your save?
18.
An 18 is a success. And that means you are dazzled. Dazzled for 1 round.
Oh,
what does dazzled mean? Let's find out, children. It means It says, if your vision is only your only precise sense, it is. All creatures and objects are concealed from you. That means a blanket 5, DC 5 check to attack anything, to target anything.
And that's just for one round because it's dazzled one?
Flat check, rather. That is just for one round. Okay. That's right.
Great.
Okay. So that is the first thing this one does, this one that's called Creature 1. And then having done that with its first action, it then tries to bite Olog.
Wow.
And it rolls well with a 24 versus Olog's AC.
That is a hit.
Oh, yes. Man.
And it does... Oh, boy, oh, man. Oh, I didn't see that its damage was that high. Wow.
Oh, Jared, stop that.
No.
It's just a very high damage that I didn't realize that it had.
Oh, okay. Man.
Oh, but it
this
rolled low. Four damage.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Oh.
Rolled low, 4 damage. And now let us have it run away. It is going to use all of its speed to get away as fast as it possibly can. It is scared of you, and it does not like you.
Oh, no. It's running behind us, back toward Yelka, Raga, and Baba. Oh.
That's right.
Now
my next Blindheim goes. Oh, you're raging, so you follow it automatically, yes. Olog.
No escape for the Blindheim.
Our next Blindheim likewise activates his spotlight feature and now attacks AWOL. And rolls not as well. That is a 16 versus your AC.
I don't see that blinded affects your AC.
I don't think that it does then.
It's not... It doesn't seem to affect my AC by the book, from what I can see. You can't see. All normal terrain is difficult terrain. You can't detect anything using vision. You automatically fail perception checks that require you to see. And you take a -4 status penalty on all other perception checks. You're immune to visual effects. That's all it says. So yeah, that is, we'll say that's a miss. He's just flailing around like, I can't see. And just like his accidental flailing is keeping the creature from getting a good hit on him.
Righto. So it has moved, it has attacked. And I think it's really upset and afraid of you. But I think it only has one attack left. It's going to attack with its map penalty. And that is going to be not enough. That is going to be a 12 altogether.
Nice.
No, it does not hit you. And that is our Blindheim. That is their round, and now we come to Raga.
Well, geez. I think, I've come within the spotlight of Creature 1 because it's now running back up through the hall toward me and Yelka.
Please make that save.
That's a fortitude save.
Roll well.
That's a 23.
That is a success. Yeah. You are dazzled.
I am dazzled. Okay. Remind me what dazzled does.
It just means that anytime you target one of these things, you need to roll a flat check of 5 or above because everything is concealed to you.
Your eyes are overstimulated is the thing I read when I clicked on it.
It's like an old-fashioned camera just went off right in your face.
Yeah.
You have a flash there.
Yeah, the flash, yeah.
Yup. Okay. Snarf. I am just gonna... Okay, I'm gonna move... Right here.
Right up next to the creature.
Yeah,
right up next to the creature.
Adjacent to the creature, blocking the pathway with Yelka that leads. Well, earlier we said to the left, but now we're saying to the north.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
deeper into the cave, but Raga and Yelka are blocking it, and the creature has no way out. Go ahead, Raga.
Well, because I already know this creature has no escape. Because of Olog and his rage, so I figure I might just make it quicker for this poor creature to end its sad and short life. so I'm gonna cast Puff of Poison.
Ooh.
What is that?
That is...
Man, Raga has the coolest spell.
She really does.
Yeah, I exhale a shimmering cloud of toxic breath at an enemy's face.
Cool. So cool.
They have to make a fortitude save.
Very good. Here comes the fortitude save. That is a 11.
Yeah, baby.
That amazing. Does
not pass. Okay, so you see Raga. She's done this spell once before against the Water Witch, who was actually immune. So this is the first time it will do any damage. But you see Raga, she like unhinges her jaw like a snake a little bit. It just like
I remember this.
Now I remember.
Pops down and she breathes this hot air, and it's like the air itself is growing mold or mildew in these like spirals through the air as it sort of like lands, these spores sort of land wetly and thickly on this poor little froggy. And he takes 3 damage immediately and 2 persistent poison damage.
Nice.
Very good. Let me mark him to remember that he is taking persistent damage.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And do you have any actions left? I believe that's all of them, right?
I do not have any actions left. So Baba's going to stay where he is around the corner, and he doesn't... he's still around the corner from the spotlight, so... He doesn't need to make a fortitude saving throw yet.
Okay, because AWOL delayed, it means that it is now Yelka's turn.
Oh, boy. All right, then. Wow, sorry, I was not ready. Okay, great.
Wait, it's so not Olog's turn? Did I miss something?
Oh, my God in heaven. It is Olog's turn.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't ready.
You better get ready.
I got Olog hanging on. Olog is so fast. He's so up the top of my sheet, I missed him. Olog, you go first.
So Olog, as this creature like turns to run from him, go back towards his sister at Raga. He's just like, whoa, he's just like hot on their heels. And he takes a 5-foot step to his right to get in perfect flanking position with Raga, and it's just like, there is no escape, frog, and swings for a flat check. Yes, the 7, and that is a 25 to hit.
Yeah,
that is a hit. It is not quite a critical hit, but it is a hit.
It was probably close to a crit, buddy.
17 damage.
17 damage.
Doesn't need to be critical for that mess.
The blind time is dead.
Oh yes.
Slumps to the ground.
His light goes out.
light does go out.
Awesome. And Olog, with his final action, swings around, darts around towards the back of the cave to flank the second Blindheim with AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well done, Olog. The blade of rage that makes all enemies fall before him. And now we are at Yelka.
Okay. Running in, wanting to save all of her magical, as much of her magical energy as she possibly can, knowing that there's more... probably much more dangerous things ahead here. She will run into the cave, or the chamber. Excuse me. She will run into the chamber right up to this other frog that Olog has just flanked. With her father's words in her mind, she will, for her second action, pull out her bone dagger she almost never uses, and she will attempt to plunge it into the brain of this creature.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Yelka getting scary as hell.
Seriously.
That would be a dirty 20.
A dirty 20.
Maybe she should use this dagger more often.
Nice.
You, baby. And it doesn't do a lot. It's only 1d4 piercing damage, but I'm not strong.
They don't have a ton to begin with, so.
Come on, d4. That's a 3.
Nice.
Nicely done. It yelps in pain. And clutches where you hit it. Blood spurts out. And that is Yelka's turn, yes?
That's right. I say, don't hurt my brother.
It is the turn of the creature that is remaining. This creature is going to...
Oh, wait. Did I need to make a check to make sure I could do that? Because I was probably still dazzled on that at turn, and now I wouldn't be anymore.
Thank you. Please do.
Flat check real quick.
Flat check. DC 5.
So this could all go away. 14.
Okay, nice. No problem.
There you go.
Okay,
it all happened.
And AWOL,
I forgot you delayed until now. You can go.
So AWOL is just blinking, and he's just seeing stars in front of him. He's trying to, and it seems to be slowly coming back, but he's still everything's still formless. So he's technically blinded. So he's blinking, looking around. Where is it? Where is it? And he could hear Yelka hitting it. He could hear Olog right across from him. He knows the creature's between them. I'm gonna do a. I'm just going to stab away in front of me. So he's just going to go ahead and stab away in front of him and roll a flat check.
Now, yeah, you have to roll a flat check. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this would be
DC
11.
10?
An 11. It's an 11.
DC 11 flat check. Here we go.
Come on.
Nailed it. Flat check, natty 19. Natty 18. There we go.
Nice.
Turns that one around. So that is one stab with his short sword. And that is 5 points of damage.
Very good.
This is just a weird situation because of the... I didn't hunt prey because I feel like I can't see this creature. You need to be able to see or hear them, but I feel like it's a bit of a stretch for me.
Even blinded, AWOL is deadly. He's just lashing out with his... short sword.
I'm going to swing a second time.
Yelka's watching very closely to make sure she doesn't get in the way of these blind slashes.
I hit, but I failed on the flat check. So he misses on the second swing. And then third action, he's going to aid Olog in his attack. So, awesome. Well, we'll see if, when it's his turn. I'll see what I'm going to do.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Very good. Now it is the turn of the creature, and the creature is going to back away from all of you and whimper pathetically.
I knew it again.
And it is going to attempt a diplomacy check as much as it's able, which is not much. In fact, let me make sure. I'm going to look at the skill set of these things. Okay, yeah, it's untrained and has nothing in that. So it's just going to just...
it's just
going to go... It's going to roll also going to roll a 2 and completely fail. And then it's going to... So it moved away from you backwards. Look, it's not efficient. It's not efficient in its movement and its attempts to do things. It is now going to run as far as it can... over to this area.
Oh, over to its dead froggy partner.
Yeah, it's on top of its dead froggy partner, screaming.
I love it. Dude,
and Olog chases him down.
That feat is just unbelievable. Is that a skill feat?
It's so fun. Yeah, it's a barbarian feat.
Oh, a barbarian feat. That is so...
That's amazing.
Awesome.
I love it.
You use it every single combat.
Yeah, it's like it's not quite as good as just an attack of opportunity, but it's off. But
still
I love having
great.
It. Like it's so perfect for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And as the creature whimpers and cowers from you, I'm going to give you a week to decide what to do.
Oh, no!
It looks like you're probably going to murder it. But
if you give us a week, you know we're not going to murder it. You gotta get us in the heat, froth of battle.
I'm not trying to sway you either way. Feel free to murder this thing, but we are going to wait a week to find out the final fate of everyone's favorite character, Doug the Blindheim. I just need
no, Doug. Well, now you named it. I mean, there's nothing anybody can do with that.
Yep. That's our show.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, Doug.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Doug. You're going to kill Doug, Skid. Are you going to kill Doug?
I'm going to Doug him a grave already. In my mind.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.